Ephraim Bechvel, Pashat Vayakil.
Heushir lo yarbe vehadal lo yamit v'machatzis ha-shekel. The Torah tells us that when we bring half a shekel, the poor person should not bring less than half a shekel, and the rich person should not bring more than half a shekel. Now it's very understandable that we want that everyone should have a share in the korbanos, and therefore hadal lo yamit. Everyone should have at least a share of half a shekel. But why he'ushir loy yarbe? Why can't we bring a bigger donation? When we go to fundraising events, we usually don't see any limits of how much we can donate. It's true we found something similar in Hilchos Tzedakah, where Chazal tell us, ha'mevazvez al yevazvez yoyisrei mechoymish, a person should not give more than 20% of his wealth to Tzedakah. But there we have a very clear reason. We don't want if a person gives so much of his money to charity, perhaps he'll be needy himself and he will need the support of others. And therefore we say there's a limit of 20%. And even there, the Chofetz Chaim writes, when a person has enough money to give more than 20% and still be very far from needing the support from others, he can give much more and he gives also different exceptions. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes that when a person needs to spend money for his physical well-being, he will not spare any money and will not say, I won't spend more than 20%. If this is so, if a person decides to give tzedakah because he wants it should be a kapur for his averes, he could give much more than 20% as well. Coming back to the machatzis ha-shekel, why can't we give more than half a shekel? Another question, when we look at the Yoitzris of Parshas Shkudim, we say, Oy punechu oleinu udoy nuso, v'shekel esu bebayis nuchoim v'niso. I will raise the amount of a shekel bebayis nuchoim v'niso, and when I come to the Beis HaMikdash, I will bring a coin of a shekel. Which is obviously very hard to understand, because the Torah says you should not give more than half a shekel, u'ushir lo yarbe. So why do we say v'shekel eso? Shouldn't we say v'chatzi shekel eso? A third question. The Chasam Sofer says he understands why we read each year Parshas Zuchri, as remembering what Amulek did is even when we have no Beis HaMikdash, even today. He understands why we read Parshas HaChodesh as we prepare for Pesach, with all the haluchas involved. And Parshas Pur, according to some opinions, is a mitzvah in Torah to read once a year. But why do we read Machatzis? Why do we read Parshas Shkudim? In the times where there was a Beis HaMikdash, then we had to remind the people, prepare you half a shekel for your contribution. But today, just as a Zeicher Machatzis HaShekel, should we read the Parsha each year? But if we look at the Gemara, we see that there is quite a strong connection between the mitzvah of Machatzis HaShekel and Purim. the Gemara says in Megillah, Omar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, Galoi v'yodua lifnei mi she'omar v'hoyo oilam she'usit homon lishkol shkodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that one day homon will come and he will agree to pay a large sum of money to Achashverosh to convince him to kill all of the Eden. And therefore, lefichoch hikdim shikleyem lishkulov. Therefore, Hashem gave us a mitzvah of Machatzis HaShekel, which is prior to Homon's Shkolim. Be'echot be'ador mashmim al Shkolim, already from the first of Ador, we prepared ourselves to give this Machatzis HaShekel. And seemingly, this outweighed Homon's plan to destroy Klal Yisrael. But what's the connection between Machatzis HaShekel and the Nes of Purim? Except for Purim cost quite some shkudim, there must be a deeper connection. So we ask three questions. Number one, why he'ushir lo yarbe? Why shouldn't we give more than half a shekel? Second question, why do we say in the Yoitzris, v'shekel esu, I will raise my hand with a shekel, shouldn't it be chatzi shekel esu? And the third question, what's the connection between machatzis ha-shekel? It seems to be so important to read each year before Purim Parsha Shkolim. So how do we understand this connection? Let's perhaps explore together the story of Megillas Esther, and perhaps this will shed some light to the questions asked. The Megillah tells us, Vayar Homon ki ein Mordechai koirea mishtache veloi. Homon sees that Mordechai is not bowing down to him. Vayimulei Homon cheimo. Homon gets all angry and upset that Mordechai is not bowing down. So he decided to get rid of Mordechai. But then he says, Vayives be'einov lishloach yad be'mordechai levadoi. He chose not just to get rid of Mordechai. Why? Ki giduloi es am Mordechai. They told him who Mordechai is. He is a Jew, and therefore he decided vayivake shumon lehashmit es kol ha-Yehudim. He decided to kill all of Klal Yisrael, including women, children. And the question is obvious. Understandably, he had a problem with Mordechai, but why kill all of the Eden? It reminds me of a story a Holocaust survivor wrote. He was hiding with a group of people in the forest. He was a young child at that time. And the Germans came to the forest. They spotted this group, chased them, and killed the entire group. He was the only one who managed somehow to hide himself behind a tree. However, the Germans saw him. And they were looking for him for a long, long time, but they couldn't find him. Sometime later, they left the forest. But they returned with even more troops, with dogs, in order to find this boy. And Baruch Hashem, they didn't find him, and therefore he was able to tell us the story today. However, he said, interestingly, he drew a lot of courage and strength from the story. How come for one little boy, they're spending so much time for one young Jewish boy? And he saw and recognized the value that each Jew had in their eyes. And he said from this gave him a lot of strength and courage. It seems to be that Homan felt that if there would be one Jew left, may it be a young child, it would be a threat to him. It seemed to contradict his ideology. It seemed not to work with his idea of life, with his lifestyle. And therefore he decided, as long as one boy is walking around, it's a threat to him and he needs to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. But what was this fight? What was the disturbance so much? Which ideas, which ideology, which he felt the Jews were a threat to him? So let's see how he pleads his case when it comes to Achashverosh And he says to destroy all of the Eden. He says, Yeshnoi Am Echot, there is one nation, Mefuzor Mefoirot Beno Amim, which is scattered around in all the different countries. Which simply means, Achashverosh, they are all over, they are a threat, let's get rid of them. However, the Sfas Emes gives a very deep explanation. And he says, Homon said the following, Yeshnoi Am Echot, there is a nation that brings oneness in Mefuot and Mefozor, in a world which is fragmented, which has many different parts to it, and they bring everything together to oneness. Yeshnoi Am Echot is a nation which brings oneness to the world, even though it's a world of Mefuot and Mefozor. What does that mean? There are two perspectives how to look at the world. Even for someone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but since then, he's not involved anymore. There are the laws of nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. It's beyond his dignity to get involved. And let the world run the way it is. And then there's, of course, the Jewish approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yoim tumit ma'aseh b'reishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he continues to create the world every day and every moment. And there's no difference between the time of creation and today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much involved in each detail of the world, and of course he cares. Now, what's the difference between both approaches? On a very simple level, the difference is, if you don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, you do whatever you like. However, if you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, and he runs the world, you know there's a purpose, and you try to obey to his will, and you know, if you won't, there are consequences attached. But there is a much deeper difference. When we look at a tree, and we see its roots, the trunk, different branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits, one way is to look at the fruit as being an entity on its own. It's true, the fruit is connected to the tree, but when a person looks at a tree, he just sees this fruit. He doesn't connect the fruit to its source. A second way how to look at the tree is, even though it's true the fruit is an entity on its own, but it's connected to a trunk, it's connected to the roots, and shares the same source of life than all the branches attached, and all the flowers, and all leaves. By doing so, the person connects this fruit with everything which is on this tree. They're all intertwined and connected to one source of life. Similarly, when we look at the world, there are many creations in the world. Heaven, earth, star, moon, sun, tables, chairs, papers, people. Now we could look at all of these creations as being separate beings, separate entities. They have no connection with each other. They might influence each other, but are not intertwined and not connected. A second perspective is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yom tumit ma'aseh b'reishis. All the creations in the world, all the details, have all one source of life. And they share the same source of life. And therefore, they are very much connected to each other, very much intertwined, and therefore, when a person sees the world in such a manner, and he realizes that whatever there is in this world has this source of life, he's able to use it for the purpose it was created, and by doing so, bringing it back to its source, bringing it back to oneness. So for example, if a person takes an apple, which is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he makes a bruche, he eats it, and with the strength, he uses it to serve Hashem. What he did was, he brought this apple and himself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, closer to oneness. This is what Haman was saying. This is what bothered him. Yesh noy am echad mefuzar mefeirat beno amim. This nation is bringing everything back to oneness. And this is a terrible threat for Haman. A terrible threat for his perspective and his view of life. By seeing even one child who will grow up in the footstep of his parents and forefathers, he will remind him and work on his conscience of there is a purpose to life. Now, the war between Haman and Klal Yisrael happened already many years before. When the Eden went out of Mitzrayim, they just became a nation, and straight away they had a surprise by Yovel Amulek. They had the war with Amulek. The Gemara says, interestingly, in Rosh Hashanah, a famous Mishnah, when Moshe was lifting his hands during that war, so the Eden won, or were winning the war. And when he lowered down his hands, then the Govar Amulek asked the Mishnah, are the hands of Moshe the one which wins the war, or perhaps different? It teaches us, when the Eden looked upwards, they connected their hearts to their Father in heaven, they won. Vim love, and if not, not. What does that mean? As said before, the war between Amulek is a war between connection and disconnection. Where Amulek believes in a world of nature, in a world which has no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael believes different. And this is the war. When the Eden were looking up, when they connected themselves to their source, then Amulek couldn't do anything. However, when they failed doing so, when there was a slight disconnection, then the Govar Amulek. How did this war start? The Eden said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. When they questioned, is Hashem amongst us? Of course, they weren't doubting if there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, they saw the Ten Makkos, they saw Kriyas Yam Suf. The question they had was, of course, on their level, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu, is the godliness, as the Or Gedal Yo explains, is the godliness beyond nature? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved with every little detail? And by asking this question, even in a very subtle way, Vayuvoy Amulek. Amulek was able to enter Klal Yisrael and fight its war. But then when they managed to connect again, then Amulek lost. Interestingly, Gedalia Shor brings that Chazal say when the Eden were fighting Amulek, there were people amongst them who were fasting. And it's the first time where we see an idea of fasting in the Torah. And it seems to be that it's not just a detail. Fasting was the way how to overcome this war. When we speak about fasting, it means tshuva, repentance, where a person thinks about himself, thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the only way how to win this war, because it was all a war between HaYesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, Im Ein. Coming back many years later, we see the same pattern. Haman comes and says, Yesh noy am echot mefuzor mefeirot beno amim, and I am starting a war against them. What was his idea? What was his plan? He had the idea of making a big feast, a banquet, where it was full of material pleasures, and his hope was that Klal Yisrael should join this party and perhaps enjoy these pleasures. Now, we do believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and we should use whatever is in this world, but the question is how. I heard once a brilliant parable of two boys, students, who were sent away to study far away from home, and of course they were very homesick. After a few weeks, they both receive a parcel. They open the parcel and they see delicious chocolate chip cookies sent from their mother. The first boy opens this wrapping, starts eating these cookies, and enjoys every bite. He enjoys the chocolate, he enjoys the cookies, and by doing so, he's fully connected to the cookies. Whereas his friend also receives a similar package, and also opens the wrapping, and sees these delicious cookies. He eats them, but each bite he thinks of his mother, who prepared these cookies with so much love. What was she thinking while she prepared them? So much care went in these cookies. He also enjoys these cookies, but instead of connecting to the food, he connects himself to the one who made the food. We are allowed to use, and we should use, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world. But we should try to maintain the connection to the one who created the world. Now, the Yidden went to the banquet, even though Mordechai advised them not to do so. And as Chazal say, Nehenu misidusay shel Achashverosh. The problem was they enjoyed it. They disconnected. Again, it was something which was, for their level, a sin, but it was a greater generation than the generation of today. So Haman succeeded partially in creating a gap, and therefore he could start his plan of killing Anushim, Nushim, Vetaf. Now, what happened then? We read the Megillah, and we read the Megillah in half an hour, 45 minutes, perhaps an hour. But the story happened longer than half an hour. It took years. And let's imagine what happened then. Mordechai comes and says, don't go to the banquet. Perhaps some people approached him and said, we shouldn't go to the banquet. All the countries are represented there. We shouldn't go. What will the king say? You are being an extremist. You're exaggerating. That's not the right approach. That's not the Jewish approach. We'll go to the banquet. They go. They enjoy themselves. And what happens afterwards? Nothing. For years, nothing happens. They seem to be right. Years later, Mordechai goes and doesn't bow down. People approach him, perhaps the same people, and say, you're putting us all in danger. If you don't want to bow down, stay home. Who asked you to come, B'Shar HaMelech, in front of everyone, not bowing down? It will have a bad consequence. And they were right. Soon afterwards, there's a new decree of killing all of the Yidden. Now, Mordechai comes to the Yidden and say, we have to do tshuva. What for? for going to the Suda many years ago. They could tell him, we should do tshuva. When we went to the banquet, you screamed, don't go, nothing happened. You don't bow down now, and look what happens a day later. We should do tshuva, you should do tshuva. They could say that, but they didn't. They accepted on themselves that there was a disconnection. They failed in a certain level to see the purpose in the world, to see that there is Yesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, beyond the mask of nature, there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They wrongly enjoyed Mesidusay Shel Achashverosh, and therefore they did tshuva, again by fasting. Esther as well, she's meeting the king, a moody king, puts her life in danger. And the way how she prepares for this meeting is by fasting 3 days. It doesn't seem the best way of preparing herself. However, she realized, like the first war of Amulek, the war of connection and disconnection, the only way how we win this war is by Tanis and by Tshuva. And they did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Yeshua, the Nes of Purim. And if we look, how did this miracle happen? As the Nesosra writes, he brings again a parable of a princess who was very ill. The king looks for a remedy. He runs to all professors, all doctors, and no one can help him. He goes to the greatest of all greatest professor, and he asks him for advice. The doctor looks at the princess and says, there is only one thing which can save a life. A specific plant. If you prepare a medicine from this plant and you give it to her, she'll get better. However, there are 3 problems. Problem number 1, she has only 24 hours. Problem number 2, this plant grows only in one place in the world. A country far away, weeks, if not months of traveling, and the government doesn't allow for this plant to be exported. Never ever has this plant left the country, and therefore there's no chance of getting the plant here. But even if you would, there's problem number 3. There's only one professor in the world who knows how to prepare this medicine, and he lives at the other side of the world, also many weeks and months of traveling. So they all give up all hope and prepare for the worst. Sometime later, they hear a ship is arriving. Who is on this ship? Someone from that country with this plant. He somehow managed to smuggle out this plant. He doesn't know himself how he arrived here. It must be some mistake in his traveling. And he came there to that place. But again, with the plant, without a doctor, it's useless. Sometime later, another ship is arriving. And guess who is there? The doctor. He also can't explain why he came there. He was on his way somewhere else, but somehow the wind brought him there, and both came there. He took this plant, he prepared this medicine, gave it to the princess, and she got better. Now, a blind person would say, it's all coincidence. Just that the plant arrived, the person arrived. But everyone who thinks a bit would realize it must have been a miracle. The same thing happened Purim. Many different occurrences, many different details which seem to have no connection. Vashti is killed. Esther is chosen as the queen. Mordechai over here is a conversation of Bigsam Veseresh. Achashverosh can't sleep at night. Haman plants a tree. And if we learn the Megillah with the Mefarshim, Malbim and others, we'll see how many more details are all connected and all intertwined to one big story, which turned out a miracle saving the Jews. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed with this Nes is that beyond the mask of nature is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's Mechadesh B'chal Yom Tumit Ma'aseh Bereishis. And therefore brings everything back to oneness. We have the Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, the war of Amulek, the disconnection, and then the connection again. What does this have to do with Machzis HaShekel? This was Emes says very interestingly in Parshas Pekudei. Chazal say, Ein habruche shoire ele bedovor hasumo min ha'ayin. Bruche, blessing, is only on something which is hidden, something which one doesn't see. And therefore a person should not continuously counting his possessions, because once he puts a number to it, it's not anymore hidden, and the bruche is not chal. But why? So as Emes says, very interestingly, when a person counts something, what he does is he gives a number to each object. This is number one, this is number two, three, four. What he does is he separates them. When before they were one, by giving a number to them, he separates them and therefore, in a way, distances them from its source of life, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if something is distanced from its source, of course, the bruche is not chal. Perhaps the same idea we can say about Machatzis HaShekel. Hashem wanted to count Klal Yisrael. But to count Klal Yisrael is a problem. Because if we give numbers to each of them, again, we separate them. And by separating them, we create fragmentation and we create distance and disconnection. What's the idea? Half a shekel. Everyone should bring half a shekel and together they will have one. They will be able to count the Yidden and maintain oneness. However, this was Emes says more. Hu'ushir loy yarbe. The rich person should not bring more than half a shekel. Is this so? If we learn the Mishnayos in Shkudim, we see a person has no problem to bring a shekel. He can come and say, my neighbor doesn't have the necessary funds. Here, take a shekel for me and for my neighbor. There's no problem whatsoever of giving more than half a shekel. So what does the Torah mean? He'ushir lo yarbe. What the Torah means is, when you come and you were lucky enough to bring 10 shkulim instead of half a shekel, we only look at it as if you gave half a shekel. What's with the other 9.5 shekel? The other 9.5 shekel is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Not for yourself. It's something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you as a guardian in order to help others. If you have the means of doing so, it must be each creation has its purpose. And therefore, bring it back to its source and use it in such a way. So just like we understand when someone comes and says, you're going to Yerushalayim, can I ask you a favor, can you please take my half a shekel for me? Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you go to Yerushalayim, please take another 9.5 shekel from me and give it to Reuven, Shimon, Levi and Yehuda. A person can give more than half a shekel, but he's only giving half a shekel. He'ushir loy yarbe. And here we see the distinction, here we see the difference between Homon and Klal Yisrael. What did Homon do with his money? It's his. He does whatever he wants. It's not something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to him. And he takes the money and he uses it in order to bribe the king, in order to kill all of the Yidden. What do the Yidden do with the money? What's their perspective? What's their view of the world? When they bring 10 shkulim, they realize they only bring half a shekel. Whereas Homon fully disconnects the creation from its source, Klal Yisrael brings it together. Let's go back to the three questions we asked. What's the connection between Machatzis HaShekel and the story of Purim? The connection is very obvious. It's all one theme. It's not just a detail. That's what the war of Amulek is all about. We asked, why does the Torah give a limit? He'ushir lo yarbe, why shouldn't we give more than half a shekel? The answer is, give more. Give 10, give 100 shkudim. Well, the Torah is saying, when you give 10 shkudim, you only give half a shekel. and the rest of the money, you're just a guardian looking after the money and using it for its purpose and bringing it back to oneness. Now, we asked also, what's the explanation of the Medrash, of the Yoitzus? We say, Oy punechu oleinu udoy nesu. I will raise my hand and bring a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. And we asked, will you bring a shekel? You'll only bring half a shekel, because the Torah says, U'shir lo yarbe. Perhaps what you are saying is the following. I will come to the Beis HaMikdash and I'll bring a shekel. V'shekel esu b'bayis nuchem v'nisu. However, u'b'tzedek hege erech kisisu. I will still with justice say the value, the amount which is said in the Parshas Kisisa of half a shekel. I will utter the value of half a shekel. I will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when I bring a shekel, I'm only bringing half a shekel. And therefore we are able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'seitiv lonu betuvcho keil rom v'nisu. Thank you.